Good evening, folks. Welcome live to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert here live.
January 20th, 06.
January 20th. Been a busy day today.
It sure has.
Yeah. Always something to do around our place. We're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And if you believe that, that's fine. You can believe whatever you want, but we can help you... We can help you see through the idiocy of this idea that your grandpa was a rock 4.6 billion years ago. I mean, if they would just only stop and see it the way it really looks from the average normal person's perspective. Remember the story about the king hath no clothes? You heard?
Yes.
That's exactly what this evolution theory is. I mean, they're just dreaming about how gorgeous this whole theory looks. You know, the king hath no clothes. Okay,
but somebody. People do tell them that they're embarrassing themselves.
They really are, you know. Let's see. Now, let me see if I understand your position. Okay, your grandpa was a rock. Okay. Rocks, plural. That one guy got upset. He said there's a pink one and a blue one. There were two rocks. Yeah, got together and produced everybody today. Okay. Amen. You can join us on the program. 877-479-DINO. 877-479-3466. If you're in the U.S. or outside, it's 850-479-DINO. And go to extension...
136.
You got it. Or you can instant message us. How do they do that?
And Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive.
And we got to tell them it's AOL instant message because there's a lot of other instant messengers out there.
Right. So,
America Online.
It's the major one.
Well, I don't know if it is it?
I think, yeah.
It's all on reuse. Okay.
Yeah.
So you can join us on the program. We got several left over from yesterday, some instant messages. I told you we'd get those first, and then we will take your messages today. But if you want to get ahead of the entire pile, call us, 877-479-DINO. We take phone calls first. And we believe the Bible is true, and evolution is dumb, ridiculous, silly.
Ludicrous.
Ludicrous. We should make a whole list of just adjectives to describe it. That'd be a long list.
Yeah.
It would. Okay, Hippie wrote yesterday, everyone I talk to says there is hard DNA evidence for evolution. I ask what this evidence is and where they got it. They always say, oh, I don't know, but I know there is evidence. Can you comment on the evidence... on any evidence that is even close to this happening? If you don't get time to answer this today, please don't answer it tomorrow. I'll be at work. Oh, sorry about that, Hippie. I'll answer it anyway. Sorry, it's the best I can do. No, Hippie, there is no DNA evidence for evolution. There is lots of DNA evidence that says, man, this DNA is incredibly complicated. I mean, DNA is phenomenally complicated, and the code is just beyond human comprehension almost. It's taken thousands of scientists, tens of thousands of hours, just to... write out the code. They certainly can't make it yet, you know. They're just barely able to read it, if they can even read it. So, I'm sorry. DNA is evidence of design. Now, there are similarities between our DNA and other animals' DNA, which proves?
Nothing. Well, common creator.
Common creator, yeah. Why do they say common ancestor for that one? Man. Okay. So anyway, Hippie, sorry about, I know you're at work, but call in if you want a question. I'm here most of the day. I'm going tomorrow to North Carolina. If you want to join us in central North Carolina, get on the website, Dr. Dino, go to the itinerary and see where we'll be. We'll be glad to have you live at the meeting. And we always have Q&A time at the meetings. The atheists and skeptics are invited, all of them, in the world. Okay, Jason's Friesen wrote in yesterday. I sent an email about this, but I heard... you just, on this live broadcast, that you probably won't get to answering emails. I know Babylon and Tyre are cities from long ago, but I've heard that the new Babylon could be New York or the United States. Reading Ezekiel 26, it seemed like God was talking about New Orleans, Tyre. That being informed of Yazooka and weather wars, and also coming into those verses, it almost seems like it describes how mankind uses the weather and the ocean against the city. Is Babylon New York? Could Tyre be New Orleans? Or was... I just wanted this straightened out for me. What is your take on this? Well, let's see. Jason, I suspect Babylon is actually Babylon and Tyre is actually Tyre. I think the prophecy of Tyre has already been fulfilled. It says this incredible city. Tyre was an amazing city. Albert, if you study the Bible story, there's a city built on an island about a quarter mile off the mainland. So it would really be tough to conquer the city, you know. because you got to go across a quarter mile of water to get there.
Yeah.
Now, on the mainland was another part of the city, but just in case that got conquered, they would simply move out to the island, and now, you know, wave at them, you can't get me. So one of the conquerors came through there. I think it was Nebuchadnezzar, if I recall. I don't know. But the prophecy was that Tyre would be destroyed, and they would lick up the dust, and it would be a place for fishermen to spread their net. I mean, if I told you that downtown Pensacola was going to be nothing but sand, there would be nothing left, and people would be, you know, spreading out their nets and picnicking or something, you'd say, man, the whole city is going to be gone. That is really, really gone. So people thought the prophecy was loony, you know, but sure enough, when Nebuchadnezzar came there, he conquered the city on land. The people all fled out to the island, you know, and waved at him, and so they tore down the city, threw it into the water, and built a causeway out to the island with all of the bricks and blocks and things of the city. Then they scraped up the dust to fill in the holes between the bricks, and actually, exactly like the prophecy was, the city, still today, is absolutely gone. But you can go out to that causeway and dig around and find pillars and, you know, artifacts, and it was actually, the city was broken down, torn apart, and dumped into the water. So, yeah, Tyre. I think that is actually what happened to Tyre. I mean, I don't think you'd have to get a modern city for that one. Okay, Kind Houston wrote yesterday, and I'm sorry for being so late here. Says, I have a question today. Since we believe the Earth was created about 6,000 years ago, approximately, how do you say, do you have any idea around what year science accurately shows the domestication of cattle? I'm taking a course that says it was 8,000 to 4,000 BC. However, I couldn't have been any sooner than 4,000 BC, according to what I believe as truth, but the Bible doesn't clearly show when domestication took place. Did Adam domesticate them himself? Were they created domesticated in our sense of the term? Yes, I would say the latter part. God created all the animals to be friendly with man. They were not, they were not carnivorous before the flood. The people were all friendly. The people were all vegetarian. Supposed to be anyway, according to Genesis 1:29. And probably all the animals were friendly, so they might have gone wild or been afraid of man after the flood, according to Genesis 9. But no, they wouldn't have to domesticate them. And shortly after the flood, getting off the ark, I'm sure there were some animals. You know, cows are just not real bright. They're not noted for their high IQ. So you just look at them sometimes. It's like, how can an animal this big be this dumb, you know? They really aren't too bright. I mean, if they knew what they were eating that grass for, they would quit. Right?
Yeah, probably.
So I would say probably domestication took place after the flood, which would be only 2400 BC. Okay? Not 4,000. So correct the textbook for me. Tell them, you know, they got the right idea, but it's the wrong date, okay? And then, let's see, please comment on the poll. Public divided on evolution, livescience.com. Let's see, control, click. Livescience.com, public divided on evolution poll. Well, that's because they haven't been to my seminar. We could straighten them all out. Here we go. What happened to it? Okay. A picture of Darwin. Livescience.com. Will Lester. Washington, Associated Press. Americans are divided over whether humans and other living things evolved over time or have existed in their present form since the beginning of time, according to a new poll. Both. People on both sides of that argument think students should hear about various theories, however. Nearly two-thirds of those in the Pew Research Center poll, 64%, say they believe creationism should be taught alongside evolution, a finding likely to spark more controversy about what is taught in the schools. They still don't get it, Albert. It's not that we want creationism taught. We want truth taught, okay?
We're not even asking for creationism.
No, just quit lying. Just, that's all. Stop lying. Stop teaching the kids the tailbone is vestigial, the appendix is vestigial, the baby has gill slits, the snake has a vestigial leg bone, the whale has a vestigial pelvis. Stop teaching those things. They're not true, okay? Go to video number 4 of our seminar series, and you can see 30-some lies in the textbooks. Just take the lies out. The problem is, for the evolutionist, now there's nothing left to support their theory. Okay, well, that's their problem. They shouldn't have picked a dumb theory to begin with. Don't blame me. Wasn't my fault. Okay. But anyway, the Pew Research says 64% think both should be taught. Article says, that controversy could be related to the difficulty of measuring public sentiment about teaching evolution. Creation, did it again? Look at this, did it again. Public sentiment about teaching evolution, creationism. No. Call, tell Will. Will, you got it wrong, but it's evolutionism, okay? Should be evolutionism and creation. Or the more recent concept of intelligent design, a Pew official says. We acknowledge there may be some confusion about the meaning of these terms, said Louis Lugo, director of the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. But Lugo said the findings suggest widespread support for teaching students different ideas about how life began. I would agree. The Pew Research is finding a lot of people think creation should be taught. It's obvious. You should teach truth. And the truth is that the evidence looks like there was a designer. I'm sorry. Suppose you're in school and you've got to teach kids, okay, when you dig through the gravel and you find an arrowhead, you have to come up with theories of how this thing happened by itself, and you can't use man as your answer. We're not allowed to say a human designed it. Now, kids, go. Let's hear your research. Let's hear your ideas. Oh, let me think, teacher. Lightning strikes, you know, hit the gravel pile and chipped the rocks together and made this arrowhead.
In a lot of heat.
And a lot of heat, yep. Or the beach, you know, the waves kept beating on these rocks and flint chips easily, you know. And so it, you know, formed in this arrowhead. I bet we come up with some dumb ideas if we worked at it.
Hey, how do you spell bombardier?
Bombardier. Bombardier. It's kind of like the French spelling. There's a book about it right here. B-O-M-B-A-R-D-I-E-R.
All right. Thank you.
Bombardier. French. Bombardier. I'm sure it's something like that. Okay, let's see. There. Okay, that's it for yesterday. Now, for today. Get your questions in here, Dr. Dino Live. Okay, please comment on the rare woodpecker search sheds light on Bigfoot. Oh, they're looking for the ivory-billed woodpecker, I bet, because they found some in Arkansas. I suspect this is about the Arkansas, is it?
Yeah, Arkansas.
See, look at that. Benjamin Radford, Skeptical Inquirer. The magazine for science and reason. Skeptical Inquirer. Okay, here we go. It's livescience.com. As reported around the world, the ivory-billed woodpecker... Ooh, break time. We'll be back in just a minute. Take your comments here at Dr. Dino Live. Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert. You live over there?
Oh, yeah. January 20th, 06.
January 20th, 06. Good. So for those listening in your car, a year from now when you buy this CD... Don't call. We're not here on that day. Well, we may be, but it's, you figure it out, okay? Okay, we're here defending the idea that the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, or 850-479-DINO if you're outside the U.S., and go to extension 136. And Albert will say...
Dr. Dino Live, this is Albert.
You're getting really good. That's worth a raise, I believe. Okay. Or you can instant message us, Dr. Dino Live. Okay, here we go. Skeptical Inquirer has an article, Rare Woodpecker Search Sheds Light on Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. Okay, the ivory-billed woodpecker, last known to exist in 1944, was sighted in eastern Arkansas in 2004. The sighting prompted a massive and secret follow-up search in 2005, of a 16-square-mile area of Arkansas forest. When the bird was confirmed to exist, the discovery spawned international headlines. An article in the journal Science and a book titled The Grail Bird, Hot on the Trail of the Ivory-Billed Woodpecker. While the search for additional evidence of the woodpecker continues, the investigation is instructive for what it did not find, the alleged and elusive Bigfoot. The search for the woodpecker took months of intensive research in the woods of rural Arkansas, paid for by your tax dollars. I added that part. Bigfoot believers try to explain away the lack of evidence by suggesting that Bigfoot are out there in remote areas, but few people are out actively looking for or listening. Here's a perfect counterexample. Knowledgeable researchers with sophisticated equipment in the field for extended periods of time Arkansas is known as prime Bigfoot territory, and even touts one famous local creature, the Fauk monster, and yet no reports of large unidentified Bigfoot creatures emerged from the team's painstaking recordings and observations. So, they didn't see it. That proves it doesn't exist. I mean, seriously, isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
So.
Just like the new, what, don't they find like a new animal every day?
It's, I don't know, it's a lot. It's that one cave where they reported they found 27
27 new species.
New species, yeah. So, okay. Well, I don't know if Bigfoot's out there or not. I mean, I have no clue. I've interviewed 10 people who absolutely, you know, claim they've seen one, okay? I don't have a clue. My brother has two big feet. I know that. He's 6'4", so. You got pretty big feet. What size are yours?
Size 13.
Oh, not bad. Mine's 11, so. I met a kid with a size 18. All right. Anyway, here we go. Doug1243 writes in on our AOL instant message line and says, my friend was asking me, why is it a sin to say curse words when they're not even invented when the Bible was made? And is there some scripture I can refer him to? Well, let's see. Swear not at all. James chapter 5, I believe. Let me look that up for you real quick. Let your yea be yea. Let's see. Swear. You can get go on. Yeah, Matthew chapter 5. I say James 5. I say unto you, swear not at all, either by heaven, nor is God's home, nor by the earth, for it's God's footstool. And then James chapter 5. I did have it right. Okay. Above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. Say yes or no. You don't have to add any expletives to it, okay? Don't have to give this, you know, blank, and then no. Just no. Let your yea be yea, and nay be nay. James 5 would be a good one. Also, I think if you look at this from a Christian perspective, we're supposed to be a testimony to the world, and, you know, ask 20 heathen that you know, do you think Christians should say these words? What will they say?
No.
They'll say, no, you shouldn't say those words. It's okay if we say them, but you shouldn't say them, okay? That's what they're going to tell you. So, I mean, just for testimony's sake, there are some things you can do, but you should not do because it'll hurt your testimony. You know, I went today and get a haircut. Why? Because I want to not offend anybody. I don't want to, I'm a testimony. Told my son, get my grandson a haircut, okay? Get a little one-year-old curly little hair, you know? Oh, but he's so cute. Yeah, but make him look like a boy. Okay, so I would say a sin might be a strong word. Unwise, it certainly would be unwise to say some of the words that are used as curse words. Certainly it would be obvious using God's name in vain. Anything that would have God or Jesus in it would certainly be breaking one of the Ten Commandments, you know. That would be an obvious no-brainer. But some of the other things that people consider curse words, I suppose that would vary from extreme to questionable. You know, some would be obviously wrong. Some would be, oh, okay, if you want to. Like people say golly or gosh is a bad word. I don't know. Okay, then don't say it, you know. I don't say it very often, but I don't think that's. See, there's wicked sin and then there's dumb sin. There's several different varieties of sin. All right. Bible says he shall receive the greater condemnation. So apparently God also looks at things as if there are, you know, some are better, some are worse. Okay. J.R. Mosier 3 says, I am watching the video seminar and was wondering if the timeline chart is available online. Hey, Pavel. Is the timeline, my seminar, available online? They can buy it, can't they? The big 5-foot one? They can't download it. It's 5 feet long. Yeah, it's like $30 to buy, laminated, and it's pretty sharp. You can use it for, you know, classrooms or lectures or teaching. I guess go to our website, Dr. Dino, and type in, I don't know, timeline. Try that. It's on there somewhere. There's also a small version of it, 11 by 17, which is, you know, placemat size, and you can get that one for a lot cheaper. But check, Dr. Dino. But as far as downloading, no, that would be a monster file to download. There's a whole lot of stuff in there. Sorry about that, but you can make your own. Here we go. ATT0111, hi. Always starts off that way. Hi, and then space, long space. And then My question... Oh, by the way, hi. My question relates to the oxygen that was left in the atmosphere after the plant life was destroyed during the flood of Noah. Could this possibly explain the lack of oxygen theory that killed the dinosaurs? Well, now, that's a good thought. During the flood, a lot of plants would be destroyed, most of them. You'd probably have, you know, log mats floating around, you know, and sometimes things can grow on other things that are floating. So I wouldn't say there was no plant life alive during the flood, but probably a whole lot less than normal. Let's just assume that there's a lot less than normal plant life alive during the flood. And let's assume that Noah, he's in the ark for 12 and a half months. We don't need to assume that. The Bible tells us that. Let's assume that the earth was underwater. Some parts of it might have been underwater for the whole time. Some parts might have only been underwater for a few weeks. I don't know any way to know that stuff. Just guess, look at what floods do now and kind of make a guess. But let's just say some areas toward the middle or end of the flood would have had, you know, green stuff already growing and producing after just a few months. Some plants could be submerged for a few days or weeks and still, you know, keep on producing oxygen after they get, you know, back above ground. I don't know if anybody's done a study on every different species to find out how long can this thing be submerged and still survive. You know, because we have rivers that flood all the time. They come way up, flood. I mean, you can see the marks on the trees 30 feet off the ground where the stuff was banging into them. And then the river goes back down and the trees are fine. I don't know how you tell it's fine or not. Maybe the tree's really complaining, but nobody's listening, okay? But, so, you're probably correct in assuming, and I think this is what you're saying here, is that during the flood, there would be a lot less oxygen production because plants produce oxygen. Now, are there other sources that might produce it? Would decaying plants release oxygen? I don't know. If a plant decays, I would suspect it would release more of the methane or pentane or butane or one of the, you know, gases, not necessarily oxygen. So maybe somebody out there with a chemistry background can tell us, you know, do decaying plants produce oxygen, release oxygen, I guess. Or during the flood, you would get, of course, lots of dead stuff floating around in the water, which would provide lots of nutrients, and algae that are plants that live in the water, they would go like nuts, like, man, we got plenty to eat. Let's go, man. Make a lot of more algae babies or whatever they do, okay? And so there would be algae blooms. So you may have, and they produce oxygen, so there may have been. We'll have to see the video when we get to heaven, okay? I don't know how to answer that one. But after the flood, I would suspect, because of those factors, there would probably be less oxygen on the planet for everybody, like 21% like we have now, as opposed to roughly 32%, which I suspect is what the world had before the flood. Good point. Good question. Here we go. Dirt Man Manelli. Dirt Man Manelli? Okay. How do we know Jesus is the only way to heaven? Well, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he claims he's the only way to heaven. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So if he's claiming that, and he's the one that rose from the dead, and he's the one that did all the miracles, I guess I would believe him. As opposed to Buddha or all these other guys that died and stayed dead, you know. Muhammad, still dead, okay? We'll be back after the break and get your questions. Get them into Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. Be right back. Good evening, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live. You live over there?
I'm live. January 20th, 2006.
And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466, extension 136, and take questions live. Why is it all the skeptics that have all the anti-Hovind websites don't ever call in?
I don't know.
They should. Well, I'll be glad to answer them, straighten them out. Maybe they don't want straightened out. Who's on the phone there, Albert?
We have Johnny from California.
John from California. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your time and your program.
Well, thank you, sir.
Last week, or maybe earlier in the week, you had some calls about giants. My question would be for you, if there were giants in those days, like you quote that very often, how come they were both before and after the flood? Does that mean they were in Noah's bloodline?
There are two ways to answer that question, maybe more than two, but yes, it may have just been part of the genetic makeup of man that everybody was, you know, what we would consider giants or bigger. The other option is that the phrase, there were giants in the earth in those days, is referring to giant animals as opposed to giant people. I don't know. The Bible doesn't seem to make it clear. I tend to think it was giant people, okay? Third option is that the people before the flood were able to do genetic manipulation like they're doing today. They certainly were probably smarter back then than we are now because they were living to be over 900. So the accumulation of knowledge would be incredible. And it could be that some of this knowledge was, you know, after the flood passed on and people are doing genetic manipulation again. And God had to confound them at the Tower of Babel, you know, to confuse things. Or it could be that it was, according to Chuck Missler says, one possibility is this was, you know, fallen angels, i.e. demons, intermarrying the daughters of men. And this happened from before the flood and happened again after the flood. So, I don't know. But yeah, there were some. The ones after the flood, we got, you know, the guys like Goliath, and he had at least four brothers and cousins, you know, that David's nephews and brothers killed. So.
Yeah.
But they were only like 9 feet tall.
But why would they not be present here in our time? I understand the canopy and that taking away from size, but if it were due to angels, why would those fallen angels still not be floating around doing their thing like they did back then?
I don't know that they're not. First of all, there have been people who've argued that the UFO sightings and stuff are, you know, exactly that, genetic experiments, you know, to get little bitty people to fly in electrogravitic propulsion vehicles. I don't know an answer to all that. It's just pure speculation. So, first of all, I don't know that they're not doing stuff like that. One theory is that the angels that did this were cast into hell as either at the time of the flood or after the flood. And then when Jesus came to the maniac of Gadara, the demons in him said, are you come to torment us before the time? That phrase seems to indicate the demons know they're going to be tormented, and maybe even some of them already had been, but some were not. So the only theory I've ever heard about that seems to make sense is that some of the fallen angels, you know, intermarried the daughters of men, and some did not. The ones that did were put right then into hell. The other ones will be someday. So maybe they're just afraid to do that kind of stuff. I don't know. I mean, there's so few scriptures about it. All we can do is guess.
I understand. Is that to say that, are you telling me demons can be in this day in our time possess people?
Oh, I would say certainly demons all through history have possessed people, and certainly people today can be demon-possessed.
It seems in Jesus' time it was quite prevalent. They were casting them out left and right. But today I don't see a lot. Boy, you'd think it would be on the news if that were a maniac of Gadara.
Well, I don't know. We just had a guy here yesterday from Haiti who's lived down there most of his life, and he says there's just a lot of demon possession in Haiti. I mean, I don't know. I've never been there, but he's a pastor down there and said it's rampant.
Wow.
There are some who would argue that, you know, there's certain parts of the world where this is still going on, and maybe it's just more quiet in America. I don't know. But demon possession, I think you'd find quite a few Christians who would agree that demon possession still happens today.
Okay. Boy, I know one question can lead into the next, and
well,
I
just
appreciate
go ahead.
Everything. Is that to say demons can end the life of a human?
Well,
through possession?
I don't know if they can cause the human to kill themselves, I would suspect.
They caused the swine to jump off the cliff or run off the cliff.
Yeah, that wasn't the human, but, you know, they were in the human, and there must have been a lot of them because, you know, 2,000 swine. First, you got to wonder, what are these Jewish people doing raising pigs, okay? You got to wonder that, you know. And then when the maniac, you know, had the demons cast out, they went into the pigs, and the pigs went into the sea, and then the sea went into the pigs, and they all died. Then the people got upset and told Jesus, get out of here. And he destroyed their livelihood. Yeah, so that's interesting closure to the story. Like they said, we don't want Jesus here, depart out of our coast. I think demon possession certainly is. I don't see anywhere where would have or should have stopped for any reason down through history. Satan's still alive and well on planet Earth and probably was in the White House for 8 years here recently.
Very good. I'm going to a seminar this week on answers in, or presented by Answers in Genesis. Mm-hmm. Do you recommend those folks?
Oh, yeah, real well. Excellent. Okay. A couple things I disagree with, a little minor things. Nothing worth getting upset over, but yeah, real good stuff.
But if they come to my town, it's worth going.
Oh, yeah, yep. Of course, my stuff's better, but, you know, this is good.
Very good. All right. Perfect. Thank you.
All right, thanks for joining us. Okay, folks, you can join us on our one lonely phone line, 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466, or if you're outside the country, 850-479-DINO, and then go to extension 136. Or instant message us, as many have here, Dr. Dino Live, D-R-D-I-N-O-L-I-V-E. And we have Jason from California in the studio here. Are you the one that emails me all the time and writes all the time? And call? Jason? Okay, good. Now I can put a face with the name. Good. Good to have you here, Jason. Here we go. Dirt Man Manelli, did I answer his? Oh, Jesus is the only way to heaven. How do we know he's the only way to heaven? Well, I don't know that we can know that other than that's what he said, and I believe him. I'd have to take that one on faith. Got any comments on that one, Albert? How do you know Jesus is the only way to heaven?
Yeah, I think what you said, faith.
All right. Eric, any comments on that? How do we know Jesus is the only way to heaven other than he claimed he was? I believe it. Yeah, okay. I got no reason to doubt that. Okay, before I start my next one, who's on the phone there, Albert?
Oh, Ryan.
Ryan, yes, sir, Ryan. Go ahead. Where are you from?
Hey, Newcastle, Washington.
Newcastle, Washington. Now, how far is that from Seattle?
Like 15 miles.
Okay. And is it
snowing? So I was wondering.
It's raining. I said it's raining up there again, right?
Yeah, it's been raining like for
the last 200 years.
Days. Yeah,
I know. Yeah. Yeah, it rains forever up there. My sister lives up there, I know. Go ahead, Ryan. What's up?
Okay, I just had a quick question. Where in the Bible does it talk about God preserving his word? Because I hear you mention that, like, I hear you say something like, God preserved his word just like he told us he would, so I was wondering if
it's... Psalm 12.
Psalm 12?
That's one. Let's see. I'm going to type in here, preserve in my search program, and... word. It might be better with words, plural. Didn't find any. Okay. Just preserve. It brought up a lot. So without, you know, taking the question cold turkey here, 29 references use the word preserve, but some, like Genesis 19, is preserve seed, you know, and preserve seed of our father. Preserve life. But as far as preserving his word, Psalm 12:7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. If you read Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm in the Bible, longest chapter in the Bible, and it over and over refers to God's word being preserved, being, he promised he would keep it. Psalm 119 has just a ton of stuff on. Matter of fact, of the 176 verses in Psalm 119, only five do not mention the law or the word of God or the precepts or the statutes. It's very interesting. 171 of these verses mention the law, the word, the precepts, the statutes, whatever. It uses a different word in there. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
All right.
And another thing, when are you coming to Seattle? I was looking at your itinerary and... It seems like you come to, like, Eastern Washington, but you never come to, like, the Seattle, you know.
I never get invited. Tell somebody to invite me.
You never get invited, really? That's why you never come out here?
I only go where I'm invited. I have learned that if I just show up at a church and say, hey, I'm here to speak, they can look at me. They look at me funny. Okay?
All right.
It's much better when I get an invitation first and then show up. But tell somebody, give me a call. I'll be glad to come.
All right.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, you can join us on the program, folks. We are live the 20th of January of 06, and we're at 877-479-DINO, extension 136. PP2K7. What's an interesting screen name? PP2K7. It says, well, many of my Catholic friends wonder if God created everything to evolve as if the process of evolution was created. Well, let me take this question sentence at a time here. Many of your Catholic friends wonder if God created everything to evolve. I guess that question so far assumes that things do evolve, and you'd have to define evolve to make that question make any sense. I think God created everything to be able to produce variations, but the variations are limited. You know, you can go all the way from a Chihuahua to a Great Dane with, what, 400 recognized breeds in between, and then all the mutts between that, you know. 400 actual breeds of dogs and 20 bazillion possible combinations, okay? But they're all dog. So God created the dog with a gene code that is capable of producing a lot of varieties. Some can survive cold weather, some can survive hot weather, some have long legs and can run really fast, some have short legs and can chase the weasel down the hole. You like the dachshund, half a dog high, dog and a half long, useless. So yeah, variations happen, but that's not really evolution. So your friends are wondering, if God created everything to evolve, it appears like by that statement, they already assume that evolution is happening, and I think you better get them to define what they mean by evolution. You know, do they mean dogs produce, you know, dogs and wolves have a common ancestor, or dogs and bananas have a common ancestor? That would be
okay. Rocks.
A rock, yeah, which was a rock, yeah. Pink one and a blue one. Here we go. And we read the rest of your question here. And they were even so convinced to call me a fundamentalist. However, it seems that the Catholic Church itself has even taught this idea. I'm not sure the best way to go about telling them, as they, not being fundamentalists, do not take the Bible literally. I don't know that fundamentalist is a bad word. What does that mean? Person who believes the fundamentals. There are some fundamental things you need to learn to play tennis and play it well. So are they tennis fundamentalists? Yeah, probably. Okay. You can be a fundamentalist in any subject, okay? Pick your topic, okay? There are basic fundamentals, things that work. I believe the basic fundamentals of the Bible. They use that word like it's a bad word, like, oh, you're a fundamentalist. Well, explain what you mean, and I'll tell you if that's me or not, you know? Does that mean I believe the Bible? Yep, guilty as charged, okay? So the best way to go about telling your friends, since they do not take the Bible literally, there are several ways to approach the creation topic. One is from the scientific perspective. Let's just look at the scientific evidence. And the other is from the scriptural perspective. Both science and the Bible will point to the biblical creationist position, young earth creationist position, as being correct. I was on a radio program yesterday, Albert, before I did this one, yesterday, and it was, I forget where it was, I don't even know what state it was in, but I was on radio, it doesn't matter, okay, it's just a phone line to me. And they said, do you believe the earth is only 6,000 years old? I said, only, think about 6,000 is a long time, man. It's hard to remember 50 years ago. Well, it's impossible for me. I was three, but I mean, it's hard to even think about things, you know, 100 years ago, before they had electricity, you know, in America. Most houses didn't have electric lights. Think about 500 years ago, when Columbus was going around trying to find this place, you know, sticking his flag in somebody's yard, saying, hey, this is mine, you know. The Indians come out and say, may I help you, sir? 1,000 years ago, you know, the Vikings run around beating up everybody. That's just 1,000. And they say the earth is only 6,000. I say, man, 6,000 is a long time. Plenty of time to make everything happen. Okay, so I would take the scientific perspective or the biblical perspective or both. But bottom line is you're going to have to put your friends against Jesus. You're going to have to say, look, Jesus said, Matthew 19:4, the creation of Adam and Eve was the beginning. Now, you can call Jesus a liar if you'd like, but that you need to understand that's what you're doing. And if they wonder that, that's fine. Okay, but don't let them think, you know, they're fine Christians when they're calling Jesus a liar. Okay, see plasma guns. What is that? Is that yours?
That's not from...
You like paintball guns, right?
Yeah.
Okay, are you a good shot with paintball?
Well, it's a paintball gun, so, I mean, it's not accurate.
So just shoot a lot.
Yeah, depending on the gun, you have a little more accuracy, but... It's kind of shoot once, shoot twice, okay, shoot in that direction.
Well, you're kind of a big fella, Albert. It's a little tough for you to hide in paintball, isn't it? Aren't you?
I don't hide.
Oh, you just run and shoot. Okay, good. Okay, see plasma guns writes, hello, Dr. Owen. I'm a Christian that prefers the KJV over all the other English translations. I was wondering if you could comment on the contradiction between 2 Kings 24:8 and 2 Chronicles 36:9. The NIV seems to correct this by using the Septuagint reading of 2 Chronicles, according to the footnote. An article on your website blames this on an actual error in the Hebrew manuscripts, which seems to be contrary to what you teach generally. Thank you and God bless. It has strengthened my faith. God bless your ministry. It has strengthened my faith greatly. Okay, I don't have those two verses in front of me. 2 Kings 24:8. I have to cut and paste those here. There are 24 pages of supposed contradictions on my website. No, they're more than that. 90 pages, okay? 80 pages of them, I did not write. A friend of mine did, who is pretty good, but I think takes the wrong position on a couple things and says, that there are copyist errors and all that. I just haven't had time to go through and correct, his. I just said, can I cut and paste this, please, to my website? Because there's a lot of good stuff in there, but it's not one of those things I recommend, 100%. It's just, okay, close. That's the best I've got for now. And I haven't had time to go back and finish fixing it. Okay, 2 Kings 24:8. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months, and his mother's name was Nahushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. Yes, Jehoiachin was actually anointed king twice. This happened to several folks, okay, in the Bible. They were anointed king, like King Solomon says, he was anointed the second time. Once he was anointed with his mother, the second time by himself when mother died, I believe is the case with this guy. Now let me look up the Chronicles, verse 9, 2 Chronicles 36:9. If you cut and paste the verses, it's quicker. Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 3 months and then 10 days in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Is that the contradiction? 3 months versus 3 months, 10 days? I think that'd be a rounded figure if that's what you're, So if I said, how old is my granddaughter? She's 3. Well, actually, she's 3 years and 4 months. But you round it off, she's 3, Who cares? I don't know if something on my website, that there's an error in the Hebrew, it's certainly not my writing of that, okay? I didn't say that, all right? So we'll have to fix that when time permits. Okay, the Black Knight 50 writes in, hey, Dr. Oven, here's another fun article from Live Science. After having watched your videos recently, we'll be back. I'll comment on this article in just a moment. Ryan, thanks a lot. Bye. Good evening, folks. Where are we? Pensacola, Florida. Ken Oven and Awesome Albert live.
January 20th.
Oh, straighten me out, Albert. Help me out here. And you can join us on the program. We're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And those are the nice things we say about it. And if you want to join us, if you agree or disagree, that's perfectly fine. You are welcome to call. Here we are, paying for the program, paying for the time, paying for the lights, the electricity. We really want people to know the truth. And the evolutionists and skeptics and scoffers are invited. We love it when you call, because that's what we live for. We are trying to minister and get you converted.
And now we're recording it.
And we're recording it. And going to make it available on MP3 here. We'll do a month at a time. Probably give you $10 for a one-month supply of Dr. Dino Live. That would be a lot. They could listen to that while they drive to, the moon, if they build a road up there. Okay, please comment on livescience.com. Well, we got a phone call first. Human biology. Okay, well, I'm going to click on this, Ryan, and then it may be a moment until I actually get to it. Is that nobody for the program?
Okay. Where's your son?
My son.
Yeah.
Saying supper's ready.
He wanted to know if you're coming over to his house for dinner.
My wife is gone. I'm batching it. I'll go anywhere for dinner, okay? It doesn't matter. Yes. Call him back. Say, sure. Lives 2 doors down the street. That's awesome. Here we go. Livescience.com. The top 10 missing links. By Kerr Than. This guy, I've never met Kerr Than, okay? But he writes a lot for this. He is really apparently believes in this evolution stuff. The top 10 missing links. Number 1, Australopithecus, no, that's number 10, afarensis. Now, Kerr, you have got to get up to date, okay? Australopithecus afarensis, better known as Lucy, was a chimpanzee-type animal that is, number 10. Lucy, you need to go to my website, Kerr, and read, and watch. get video number 2, okay, and watch all about the cavemen, or get the book Bones of Contention by Marvin Lubinow or Buried Alive by Jack Kuwazo. Either one of those books will straighten you out, okay? If you believe these are evidences of evolution, you need help, okay? And we're here to help you. There is no evidence that man evolved from an ape-like ancestor. Now, stop and think about it just from a strictly logical perspective, okay? Think about it. You find bones in the dirt. What do you know?
It's dead.
It's dead. That's it, okay? End of story. It died. You do not know that it had any children. You can't prove it had. All you know is it's dead. Okay, you found the bones. So, from a strictly logical perspective, absolutely zero fossils would count as evidence for evolution. None will ever count as evidence for evolution because they're dead. Dead animals don't have babies. Okay. Now, did they have babies when they were alive? I don't know, and you don't know either. What you know is you found the bones, which indicates it's no longer using them, all right? It's dead. So all of these so-called missing links would be discredited from a strictly logical legal perspective in a court of law. It died, okay? So, and even then, the ones, if you look at the ones that they find, all I'm getting to click up here, oh, it's next, okay. Australopithecus africanus. Oh, he's saying africanus is number 9. That is better known as the Tang child. That was disproven in 1973. Okay? It cannot be a missing link. So, Kerr, you need to get up to date on your fossils here. And the book Bones of Contention will straighten you out if you think the Tang child is evidence for evolution. He goes through all 8 of this. Number 8, Paranthropus Athypicus. It's an ape. I mean, it's got the crest, the sagittal crest on the head. It's an ape, okay? Two guys' fossils. Tell Al Pandy I said hi and to quit promoting evolution. Al, I told you before, man, you got great fossils up there in Boston, but you keep teaching people these are millions of years old. Knock it off. It's not true, okay? Anyway, I'm not going to go through all 10, but I cover most of these on our seminar part 2 about the so-called cavemen, or I don't know if Marvin Lubinow has a website or not. Can you do a Google search while we're waiting here, Albert, for the next phone call, and go to Google and see Marvin Lubinow, Lubenow. I don't know if he has a website, but his book is awesome.
Marvin?
Marvin. First get on Google. Yeah. All right. Lubinow, Lubenow. His book is right here. There he is, right here. You got the spelling right there? Marvin Lubinow. You got it. Okay, see if he has a website. Because have you seen that, Jason? His book is tremendous on the so-called cavemen. There's never been a caveman, unless you mean Osama bin Laden, okay? Or Saddam Insane, you know. Okay, here we go. Yeah, the top 10 missing links. They're still doing articles like that. I can't believe it. Ryan, they need help, don't they? Okay. Here we go. Hey, by the way, did we tell you, Albert, I guess I mentioned yesterday on the radio, we sent in to the guy who challenged everybody to a debate.
O'Reilly?
O'Reilly, yeah. Bill O'Reilly. He said he's willing. He wants 6 people to debate him on any topic of their choosing. Well, look, I like O'Reilly. I've watched his show. You know, I don't watch it all the time, but I've watched it a bunch of times. And he's Catholic. He's wrong about several things there, you know. I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm for truth and against error, and they have some error, so I'm against their error. And he's got some really good points in some areas. I mean, but he believes, you know, the Earth is billions of years old. Anybody doesn't believe that's crazy. Well, there's no possible way you could prove something like that. Okay. So anyway, maybe they'll have me on. That'd be wonderful. If not, I got plenty of other things to do. Believe me, don't need that to do. But okay, here we go. Marsupial 103 writes in. I was just on the net one day, and I was bored. I found a few anti-Hovind sites. A few? There's about 1,000, okay? Where they're all a joke by attacking your PhD. And the funniest one I seen was in response, was referring to the story of cutting the arm off a T-Rex, and it would have bled to death. The site's response to this is, let's see Mr. Hovind do this. Cut the arm off a T-Rex. Okay. You know what that story's all about?
No. What are you...
On video number 3, where I talk about dinosaurs living with man, I show the Beowulf story. Okay? Beowulf is a really, really old story from 588 A.D. Okay? So it's, 1,400 years ago. In Beowulf's story from Denmark and that area, the story says that Beowulf killed 2 dragons, and the 3rd one killed him. He fought 3 dragons. I got the Beowulf story here somewhere. We sell it in the bookstore. It's $2. Very difficult to read. It's written in, written in Old English, it'd be just about impossible to read unless you spoke that. It's like a foreign language. But even translated to modern English, their style of writing is and talking was very different. Okay, very, very, very different. Who cares? But the I just simply say that the Beowulf story says that Beowulf killed Grendel by pulling off one of its arms, and the creature fled back to its cave where it bled to death. That's what the story says. I didn't write the story. Man, I'm not Beowulf. It's 1,400 years old. And then I point out that a Babylonian cylinder seal was found showing a man pulling the arm off a dragon. What is their complaint about that? So, Marsupial 103, have them explain clearly what their complaint is about what I said. It's a historical fact that Beowulf said that. It's a historical fact that a cylinder seal was found showing that. And then I said in my seminar, maybe that's how you had to kill one of these creatures. I don't know. I've never killed one, never tried. But it's it's also a historical fact that the T-Rex had little tiny puny front arms. If you could ever grab one, it's possible you could jerk it off. You know, certainly you can pull somebody's arms out of their sockets easy enough. I mean, that happens all the time. So, okay, well, if that's the best they've got, Marsupial, tell them they need help and they can call in today. We are live and we'll take them on. A-A-R-B-A-R-R. R-bar. R-bar? Do these screen names mean something? Or do they just make up their own? Just whoever can get the craziest one wins. Family initials? Is there some kind of... They don't get a prize or anything for having the strangest screen name. Okay. R-bar 8 writes in, but please do me a favor and just let the good doctor keep up the good work. I'm praying for your ministry. I love what you guys are doing. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Been doing it for a long time. We're going to keep going until I die. Okay, here we go. Senator Tombstone. Senator Tombstone. Now, Don Strange, pastor in South Florida, a friend of mine, been a friend for years and years, he said when he dies, he wants a blank tombstone. Nothing on it, just blank. People are going to walk by the cemetery and say, wow, that's strange. His name is Don Strange, okay? I've got a whole bunch of tombstone jokes. There was a guy walking through the graveyard and saw a tombstone and said, here lies a lawyer and a good man. He said, wow, they're putting 2 people in the same grave. Okay. There's another guy named Pease, P-E-A-Z. His tombstone said, here lies the body of old man Pease beneath the shelter of the trees, but Pease ain't here. It's just a pod because Pease shelled out and went to God. And I can go off a couple hours on the tombstone jokes, but anyway, Senator Tombstone writes in, Dr. Hovind, I know this question is not about creation, but I'm wondering which political party politicians is the most compatible with Christianity? Ooh. I would say none. None of the above. Also, which well-known preachers and televangelists, if any, do you feel are worth listening to? Well, that's a good question. You have to learn early in life to eat the meat and spit out the bones, or else you're going to choke on something, okay? So you've got to learn that by the time you're 2, or you're going to be dead by the time you're 2.5. I would say there are a lot of television evangelists that have a lot of good meat. You can learn some things, okay? There are a few that I would put real close to the bottom of the list and say you're going to have to dig through a lot of garbage to find any good food there. I think probably some really have a good heart, and they want to use television as a means to evangelize, which is what the word comes from. And I'm for that. Go for it. it seems like in some cases it goes to their head. Now they start getting some money, and now they, you know, got their 10-pound eyelashes and their 50-pound hairdo they got to put on, you know. Glenda's blinking her eyes.
I saw that.
And they, you know, they got $4,000 worth of rings on their fingers while they're crying. Oh, we need money. Please send money. Yeah, right. Okay. Why don't you go sell a ring, lady? That one show, PTL, you know, pay the lady. You could probably get some good out of most of them, and probably a lot of good out of some of them, but I don't know. I don't give anybody, even myself, I wouldn't give a blanket recommendation. When somebody says, what do you think about so-and-so? I say, well, you know, mostly good. Like what they asked about, you know, Answers in Genesis. Mostly good. I would agree with most stuff. I, you know, disagree with a few. Did you find it? You did not find it. Okay. Huh. Somebody sent me a picture. It's called Two Pterosaurs. Jason, what do you think? Is that a baby pterodactyl that person is holding in their hand? Isn't that strange? I mean, it looks like a baby pterodactyl. I don't have a clue where it came from. It's just titled twopterosaurs.jpg, you know, so you can't chase that down. I don't know. How did we get off on that? Okay, Senator Tombstone, televangelist. I was listening yesterday, a couple days ago, and I was at the motel, wherever I was, doesn't matter, where was I? Illinois. And the guy from Arkansas came on there, and I'm writing him a letter, actually. Called his office today. Pastor Arnold Murray. He's been doing 50 years or something on radio and now TV for quite a while, and he had a lot of good stuff to say. Without even knowing what denomination he is, I listened to him for a while, and I said, I picked out a lot of good. Great idea. And I picked out a couple things I don't like. So I'm going to write him a letter and say, hey, what I saw, you got some good stuff and you got some bad stuff. It's the same thing with me, same thing with you, Albert. There's probably things about yourself you like and things about yourself you don't like, right?
Yeah, same with everyone.
Same with everyone, sure. So... now, Benny Hinn, I would put, you know, a little closer to the bottom of the list. He's down there from your area.
Yeah.
Did you ever see his program?
I forget the channel, the Christian channel. He's always on there. I think it's the Super Channel or something.
Yeah. Now, believe it or not, he says some good things once in a while. Okay, but, so I wouldn't give anybody a blanket recommendation or a blanket negative. I go, you know, item by item. Line item veto. What's he say on that topic? And I'll say, yep, I agree or I disagree, and here's why. Even, believe it or not, Hillary Clinton, there are a couple things about her that are good. Nobody's found them yet, but I'm sure there are some, okay? Has to be at least something good about her. All right. Let's see. I guess my mom taught me both, you know, say something nice. Try to say something nice, you know? Like the guy that took this fat girl out on the date, you hear about that? She was huge, you know. I took her out on the date, and Mom said, now say something good. So, man, they went to the restaurant, and she ate 7 hamburgers, and the poor guy had to pay for this, you know, and he's about broke. And they went to the movie, and she had 3 boxes of popcorn and spilled the Coke on him. And, you know, just he was having a really rough time, you know. That night he's walking up to the door, and his mind is racing. I got to say something nice, you know. Mom told me I got to say something nice. So got up to the door, and he said, you know, for a fat girl, you don't sweat much. And got to say something nice, you know. Okay. Anyway. Senator Tombstone, I would say pick an evangelist, tell me a particular topic they talk on, and we'll do that. But I wouldn't, like I said, give anybody open or closed doors on that. Okay, Fight for Jesus Today writes in, you always mention you taught high school for 15 years, and I don't doubt that. What school was it that you taught at? Actually, it was 3 different schools. I was in Illinois, in East Pekin, Illinois, break time here, and then went to Kankakee. Actually, 4 different schools. 4 schools. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live on the phone, microphone.
January 20th, 06.
And you can join us, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. Fight for Jesus Today said, you taught school 15 years. Let's see, I taught in Pekin, Illinois. I lived in Groveland, Illinois. My brother still lives there, same house, right next door to the one that I built. I built a house, and then he used my house plan, stretched it out 6 feet or 4 feet, whatever he did, made it a little longer, and built an identical house plan next door. And So my brother and I, the one that led me to the Lord, lived next door for a while. And then I moved to Kankakee, Illinois, which is actually Bourbonnais, French. Who cares? Just suburb of Kankakee. And lived there for 3 years. No, 5 years. Three years in Bourbonnais. And worked at Faith Baptist Academy, a Christian school, taught science and math. The pastor, Bob Gray, moved to Longview, Texas, and kept calling, saying, hey, we want you to come to Texas, you know, come to Texas. He brought a lot of his staff down there with him because he'd known us for a long time. And so we moved to Texas and went there for five years, continued teaching science and math, as well as we're teaching in the college. We're getting enough volume on that, just barely bumping the needle. Is that good enough, Albert? You're supposed to be a little higher on that.
I don't know.
It sounds good. John set it up. Just do what John says.
It's,
okay.
Yeah, that's all I'm doing.
And just do what he says. Okay. And then I taught in the college, and Texas Baptist College. One of our students that came from California took a couple of my classes and said, man, you need to go to California and work in my dad's school because he needs a science teacher real bad. And California's heathen, and they got a lot more people to get saved. I said, okay. So we went out to California. And Jason, would you agree that they're pretty heathen out there? Extremely heathen. Okay. Extremely heathen. We have it from a Californian himself. So I went out and worked at Faith Baptist Academy in Fairview. Where did I live in California? Brain fade. Man, I lived there for 3 years. And came down to Pensacola, Florida, where we live now. And when I first came here, I was doing construction, making some real money for a change, but I did substitute for a semester at a Christian school here in Pensacola, East Hill Christian School. Filled in for a semester teaching math and science. And still, since I've been here, I've been teaching a science class most of the time. I have a physics class I teach now for the homeschoolers. Taught physical science, taught earth science, taught algebra. Still enjoy teaching.
Creation science,
taught that. Electricity, plumbing, auto mechanics. Yeah, my dad taught us a lot of stuff. I tell you, it was awesome. Okay, here we go. ATT0111 says, hi. My question relates to the different Bible translations that are out there. Some translations have the name Hashem substituted for God. Can you explain what religion that is, and is it a false god? I don't know. You ever heard of that, Hashem? It just it just means the name. El means God. So Samuel, his name is God. Okay. There you go. Like Beth El means house of God. Beth means house. Okay. Beth El, house of God. El Shaddai is God. God our protector or something. Almighty. El Shaddai. Yeah, the name. So, Hashem, I've never heard Hashem substituted for God. What translation that would be, I don't know. But, okay, while they're in Babylon. Hashem, okay, there you go. Well, I didn't know that, thank you. And we have it as all capital letters, L-O-R-D, right, okay, good. Yeah, the King James was careful to preserve the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and sometimes it's capital L, small O-R-D. It's a different word. Yeah, there are three different ways they print the word Lord in the King James, maybe four. So all capital G-O-D, capital G. Okay. Okay, I'll have to read that. Good. All right. So you're here visiting today. And you're here today for the conference they're doing on the Liberty Dollar, silver. And there are a bunch of folks gathered here in Pensacola. Where are they at? Pensacola Boulevard and Quality Inn. Yeah, okay. At the meeting room there. Awesome. And the price of silver, I can't believe it, $9 an ounce now and $530 for gold. $550 for gold. And it dropped, yeah. I remember when it was, you know, just a couple of years ago, it $250 an ounce. Man, if you'd have bought a bunch of gold then. So, like we talked during the break, you know, the gold isn't going up, the dollar's going down. Gold stays steady.
Yeah.
And that's the nice thing about it. People don't understand how the money works, but the entire fraud currency we use, Federal Reserve notes, fiat currency, yeah. Yep, it's all imagination. So why did the Italians name their car the Fiat? They weren't thinking, were they? Like the Chevy Nova. It didn't sell too well in Mexico, you know. Nova means no go, you know, in Mexico, Spanish. Not going to sell many of these down here. Okay, I mean, if you name a candy bar puke, I don't think you'd sell many of them. Okay, here we go. Kaizo17 says, I will pray that you get the O'Reilly interview, Dr. Hovind. Well, thank you, Kaizo. I guess I'm not positive that I want it, but, you know, O'Reilly, I'm not afraid of O'Reilly. I'm just, the way they handle people sometimes is you don't get a complete thought. You get interrupted, all that stuff. I prefer someone who's, you know, give me your whole thought. Let me, people write in questions. I read the whole thing. I get, you know, I give them complete attention and then tear them apart before, but after I give them attention. Okay. So if O'Reilly will let me talk and not interrupt me and not shut me off, I will get him converted. He'll be an independent, temperamental Baptist by the time I get done. Here we go. Arbar says, no, it's my first and last name combined.
You were asking about...
LOL. Laugh out loud? Okay. Good. All right. Mine's just Dr. Dino, so I guess... All right. Here we go. D-L-E-N the Sun. Well, do you know the Christian response to Cain marrying his sister is that their genes at the time were perfect, or maybe very good. Well, my question is how, if that can be applied to the question of how Noah and his family repopulated the earth. Or rather, were their genes, after hundreds of years later after creation, still applicable to Cain and his sister's genes? Today, because inbreeding within families causes horrible defects. I would agree it causes defects today, but I think even with Noah's family, it would still be a pure gene code. Keep in mind, they were still coming out from under the canopy, the canopy that was still a pure gene code. And it says Noah was perfect in his generations. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean, you know, generation, to get regenerated is to be regened? New genetics. You know, you actually get born again. You become a new person when you get regenerated, regened. So Noah's generation, his gene code was perfect, if that's what that means, and so would not have been a problem for his sons to marry his daughters. Even for centuries afterwards, people were still doing that. Darwin married his first cousin on purpose. He wanted to have a superior offspring, you know. Well, he had 10 kids, and most of them were in really bad shape. Quite a few died early or were real sick or invalids or did not work, okay, to have superior children. I would say by 500-700 years ago, it became more and more dangerous to marry close kin. And now it's real dangerous to marry close kin. Mosaic law was given, 2,500 years after the creation. By then, God said, don't marry your sister. Okay? All right. Good. Okay, Warwick, W-A-R-W-I-C-K. Thanks for your site and videos. I found them very interesting. Down here in New Zealand, there are all kinds of flightless and limited flight birds. I don't see that they would have flew here. Good point. How did the flightless birds... Well, they might have flown there and then lost their wings. Yeah, good point. Assume they would maybe be brought here by travelers prior to the first supposed travelers, the Maori. I've been wondering how, since the flood, they got here. Can you help? Kind regards. Blessings, Warwick. A couple of options. One is somebody brought them there. Two is they rafted over on, floating log mats and stuff like that. This drifts around the ocean all the time. Three is they could fly and then lost their ability to fly. Just like the wingless beetles or flightless beetles on one of the islands. There's a real windy island that none of the beetles there can fly, but the same species on the mainland can fly. Well, if they can fly, and it's real windy, and they all get blown out to sea and get eaten by the fish, that's a disadvantage. On a windy island, it might be better if you just crawl, you know? So losing your ability to fly, and therefore, you know, being stuck on the island and surviving and having kids and grandkids and great-grandkids might be an advantage on a windy place like that, to lose the ability to fly. That's not evolution. That's backwards. That's a loss of information. All right. Our church is in crisis. Jamie writes, the role of women in the church is the heart of the issue. Basically, the pastor has taken a position that Timothy does not apply to our church. Can you respond with your understanding of Scripture? Also, any references I could use to research would be greatly appreciated. I guess I'd have to have that question sharpened a little bit. Exactly what's the pastor saying? The role of women in the church. Man, most churches would fall apart if it weren't for women. They're generally harder workers than men. And the men will sit around and talk about it, and the women will just go do it, you know? After Thanksgiving. Albert, Thanksgiving dinner's over. What do the men do?
Take a nap.
What do the women do?
And clean up.
Clean up. See? My point exactly. Okay. That's like the soldiers were talking to the Cherokee Indian chief and said, Chief, you've seen the white man. Where did we go wrong? The chief said, well, when the white man found this land, the Indians were running it. There were no taxes. Medicine man was free. Plenty of buffalo. Men hunted and fished all the time. Women did the work. White man thinks he's smart enough to improve a system like that? I don't think so. Okay. Try to get another one in here. Joseph, I noticed you have several fan sites that seem to enjoy pointing out the facts of Dr. Hovind's comments. I'm interested in these, or what he has to say about them. I'm a fellow Christian who's wondering about the validity of some of these comments. Well, Joseph, I don't know which ones you're talking about, so I'd have to have clarification on that. Any comments I've made? I mean, if somebody, is there an anti-Hovind website that deals just with comments I've made or something? Not that you've seen. I've read some of the anti-Hovind websites. Yeah, real vague in general, right. Like, you're ugly. Okay, what's ugly, you know? Be specific, please. Okay, John says, do you have any information concerning the walking catfish? Yep. It's a pretty neat catfish. It can get out of the water and walk around for a while. Actually, it doesn't walk, kind of drags itself on its fins. That's probably pretty handy in areas where the pond dries up completely, and you got to walk across the dirt to get somewhere else, you know. I would say that had to be designed. It's kind of like an amphi car. You ever seen those? It's a car, and you can drive right into the water, and then it becomes a boat, and then you get out the other side, and it becomes a car again. It used to be popular, you know, years ago, the amphi car. I probably still got it. Anyway, all right, folks, we'll be back with your comments and questions Tuesday. Actually, I'll be gone Monday, I think, Albert.
Video.
Video. All right, see you then. Bye-bye.